Tonight, what caused a deadly disaster on the tracks?
Amtrak 501. Emergency, emergency, emergency. We are on the ground.
A passenger train flies off an overpass, slamming into cars on the highway below. Investigators hunting for clues in the mangled wreckage. Also, the race to get back up and running after a day-long power outage crippled the busiest airport in the world. Dustin Hoffman accused. Three women detail sexual misconduct allegations against the Oscar-winning actor in their first television interview. NBC News exclusive, a warning from senior FBI officials to candidate Donald Trump during the 2016 campaign, what he was told about Russia. And a new crackdown on homeopathic treatments sold for everything from the common cold to cancer. Are you putting yourself or your child at risk?
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. An NTSB GO team of investigators is converging in a small town outside of Seattle tonight, the scene of a horrifying and deadly Amtrak train derailment that sent rail cars tumbling from a bridge onto traffic on the busy Interstate 5. Multiple people died aboard the train and many more were injured, some trapped in overturned coaches. It happened on the inaugural run of high-speed train service on that route as the train was passing through the community of DuPont, Washington, which is where we find our Gotti Shorts with late details. Gotti, good evening.
Good evening, Lester. Just to give you an idea of how fast this train was going, out of the 14 train cars, 13 of them flew off the tracks. In fact, you can see it behind me. That is where the train came off the bridge. Some of those cars landing on oncoming traffic, on rush hour traffic. Now investigators are looking into whether speed and whether track conditions may have played a role in this crash. All of this on the first day of this high-speed service.
Tear on the tracks on a day that was supposed to be a cause for celebration.
Amtrak 501, emergency, emergency, emergency. We are on the ground.
An Amtrak train on the first day of a new high-speed service to Portland derailing, then careening off an overpass 40 miles south of Seattle.
Is everybody okay?
I'm still figuring that out. We got cars everywhere and down onto the highway.
Several rail cars crashing into the busy I-5 freeway during rush hour, smashing into a semi-truck and several other vehicles. Anthony Raimondi escaped by climbing out a window.
It seemed like going really fast, and all of a sudden it just, everything went dark and it tipped over, and that was it.
Wreckage stretching across several lanes. Traffic shut down as first responders made rescue after rescue.
When we got to the scene, it was obvious that there were some fatalities and there were a lot of injuries.
With 84 on board, multiple people are dead, dozens more injured.
Just looking at this whole mess, just right around Christmas, just breaks my heart.
Covering the inaugural run for the high-speed line aimed at adding faster service between Seattle and Portland, it was personal for Alex Rozier, a reporter for NBC's affiliate King 5. He got off just before the disaster, having been in car 3.
Everybody who was on board that train was just so excited. Many of them were going to work, they were heading to the office, or they may have been heading home for the holidays.
But the $180 million project had been the target of critics raising concerns about safety that are now part of the investigation.
Our community has been very concerned about the safety of this modification of the rail route for several years.
Today, their worst fears realized on the first day of service as this high-speed train line's maiden run now marred by tragedy. Gotti Schwartz, NBC News, DuPont, Washington.
This is Tom Costello. Tonight, federal law enforcement sources say there is no indication of terrorism. But multiple sources do say investigators are looking into whether Train 501 was going way too fast as it approached the curve where it derailed.
The overall track speed was 80, but the curve was restricted to 30, and it looks like he failed to slow for that curve.
The priority now for investigators, recover the train's black boxes that would have recorded the train's speed and whether the brakes were applied. Investigators will also question the crew about whether the track condition was good and whether there was an obstruction on the tracks. That stretch of track run by Sound Transit had not yet been upgraded with positive train control, a congressionally ordered high-tech safety upgrade to keep trains from crashing.
It says you're going too fast, you have a 90 mile an hour.
It's slowing it down for you.
It just took over control of the train for me.
We saw how it works at Amtrak's training center last year. In essence, the technology is about trying to remove human error as a factor in crashes by forcing the train to abide by speed limits and stop signals. With transponders in the tracks, computers monitor every train speed and location and slam on the brakes to prevent a crash. Railroad veterans say a string of crashes could have been prevented with positive train control. From California to the Bronx, Philadelphia to a derailment with injuries in Washington State last July. The question tonight, was speed a factor in the crash and would a safety upgrade have made the difference? Tom Costello, NBC News, Boston.
Meantime, tonight, it's a race to get back up and running after a power outage knocked out the busiest airport in the world, Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson, triggering a day of misery for passengers and a ripple effect felt all across the country. Here's NBC's Kerry Sanders.
Today, more lines.
I just feel like we're in the third world.
And more frustration.
Beyond irritating.
After an epic 10-hour blackout, the power at the world's busiest airport was back on this morning. Still, more than 400 flights were canceled today, on top of the 1,100 canceled yesterday.
The lights went out. We were on the plane for like 7.5 hours.
In Sunday's chaos, some passengers initially feared a terrorist attack, confused by a lack of information.
I was not expecting that.
The stranded, some on planes for more than 6 hours, left in terminals with little food.
Thanks, Atlanta.
These new images showed the damage to an airport tunnel caused by a switch that caught fire, leading to a power failure. The blaze burned through 7 critical lines, knocking out the main and backup system.
But the fire created a failure of all those cables.
Tonight, the ripple effect felt across the country.
We're prepped for Dawn of the Dead or something. It's ridiculous.
It's kind of a mess.
I've cried about 3 times.
And for passengers on Delta, extra delays after their electronic boarding pass system went down.
We've been in this line for an hour.
Tonight, officials scrambling to get operations back to normal ahead of the holiday rush.
Tonight, authorities have not ruled out outside interference. They believe that there may have been an intruder that got to one of the wires leading to the switch and it was frayed. It's highly possible, they say, it was gnawed on by a rat. Lester.
All right, Kerry Sanders, thank you. The massive wildfire burning northwest of Los Angeles is now the third largest in California's history. But firefighters are hoping to turn the corner now that the weather has become more favorable. More than 270,000 acres and 1,000 structures have been destroyed, including the home where the Eagles recorded their classic song, Hotel California. Now to an NBC News exclusive. Amid a wave of accusations of sexual misconduct against powerful men from Hollywood to sports to media, one of the biggest names ensnared in the Me Too movement is Oscar winner Dustin Hoffman, accused by several women of inappropriate behavior. But we haven't heard them tell their stories on television until now. 3 women speaking out to NBC's Cynthia McFadden.
He is one of the greatest actors of his generation.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
They are 3 of 5 women who say Dustin Hoffman behaved in sexually inappropriate ways.
As hard as it is, I think that I wanted to choose truth over shame.
Corey Thomas was 16 in 1980, a friend of one of Hoffman's daughters, when the 3 spent a day together in New York.
And it was probably one of the greatest days of my life because
she says she was left alone with Hoffman to wait for her parents.
And he came out of the bathroom, after a few moments with a towel around him and literally dropped the towel. And I just froze. I'd never seen a man naked in my life at this point. I was kind of an awkward young girl. I'd never kissed anyone.
She says he got on the bed and asked her to give him a foot massage.
He was being suggestive. He kept saying, I'm naked.
Anna Hunter was 17 in 1985, an intern on the set of Death of a Salesman, where she says Hoffman grabbed her bottom, persuaded her to give him foot rubs, and humiliated her. One morning, she says, he gave her a sexually vulgar and offensive breakfast order.
And he just stared at me, and everyone burst out laughing. And I backed out, went to the bathroom and cried.
Catherine Rossiter credits Dustin Hoffman with giving her the chance to star in Death of a Salesman.
People go, how is it to work with Dustin? And I tell the half truth, which is, as an actor working with him, I owe him everything. I learned so much. And then I would stop. And there would always be a knot in my stomach about what the real truth was, which is he was abusive and he was a bully. And
she says he repeatedly assaulted her backstage during the live Broadway show.
I felt his hand go up my thigh. And one day he actually tried to penetrate me with his fingers. And I was like, I was told to suck it up. He was the most famous actor in the world. It was the top of his career. I was a nobody. Nobody was going to believe me.
So to those who feel sorry for Dustin Hoffman in the wake of your coming forward,
I don't think they should feel sorry for him. He's fine. We have a culture of celebrity. And just because you're good at sports or music or acting doesn't mean that you're a completely, you know, integrated, fabulous human being. Your humanity is different than your work. That might be part of his tragedy. He brings so much humanity to his work, and he hasn't quite gotten it completely in his life.
No comment tonight from Mr. Hoffman's representatives, but Mr. Hoffman himself apologized after Anna Hunter came forward in November, saying he feels, quote, terrible that anything I might have done put her in an uncomfortable situation. It is not reflective of who I am. His lawyer previously called Corey Thomas's allegations defamatory falsehoods. Lester.
All right, Cynthia McFadden, thank you. Now to your taxes. Tonight, Republicans are just hours from starting the final votes on a sweeping overhaul that will affect nearly every American family. Some worried about the effect it'll have on their money. Others racing to figure out if there's any last-minute things they can do before it's passed. Here's NBC's Casey Hunt.
With the tax bill on the verge of passing in Congress, Americans across the country are struggling to understand what it means for them, just weeks before the changes would go into effect.
I've lived in Livingston 41 years.
In New Jersey, Walter Levine pays more than $25,000 a year in state and local taxes. And under the new bill, only $10,000 of that will still be tax deductible.
It's not fair. It's totally unfair.
He voted for President Trump, but now,
we're going to be paying, and that a lot of these benefits are coming off our backs.
Like millions of Americans, he's trying to figure out what he can do now to cut his 2018 tax bill. The answer depends on where you live and how much you make. So experts say within the next 2 weeks, ask lots of questions about whether to defer income or to pay state taxes early and when to make charitable donations.
Sit down with your tax professional and find out if there are steps you can take before year end to take maximum benefit of what might be happening.
Republicans say they have the votes they need to pass the bill, even without Senator John McCain, who's recovering in Arizona from complications from cancer treatments. The final votes start tomorrow as Americans across the country worry about what it means for them.
They should take more time and not rush this through and give it better thought. Make it fairer.
Casey Hunt, NBC News, the Capitol.
President Trump has unveiled his long-awaited national security strategy in a speech that hemmed closely to his America First stump speeches from the campaign. The president outlined a vision of strength at home, emphasizing the importance of the economy to national security. Notably, the strategy says little about securing the country from the type of cyber tactics Russia used to meddle in the 2016 election. And now NBC News has learned exclusively that the FBI cautioned then-candidate Trump about foreign rivals, including Russia, during the campaign. NBC's Peter Alexander tells us more.
Tonight, NBC News has learned senior FBI officials warned Donald Trump in the weeks after he secured the GOP nomination.
My message is that things have to change.
That foreign adversaries, including Russia, would likely try to spy on and infiltrate his campaign, according to multiple government officials familiar with the matter. Both Mr. Trump and Hillary Clinton, in separate briefings, urged to alert the FBI about any suspicious overtures. Candidate Trump notably made his own unusual overture to Moscow.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
A White House spokesperson calling NBC's report on the contents of a classified conversation an inappropriate leak. Mr. Trump's warmth toward Russia now translating into White House policy. Vladimir Putin just yesterday heaping praise on President Trump for the CIA helping break up a major terror plot in Russia. Also under scrutiny, Mr. Trump's transition team, with one of its lawyers claiming special counsel Robert Mueller's investigators improperly obtained thousands of transition staff emails now being used in the Russia probe. In a rare public statement, a Mueller spokesman says, not true.
You really can't unring this bell. If they've already reviewed the emails and they know what's in them, then deleting them or giving them back doesn't really change anything.
As for those Trump-Putin phone calls, the former director of national intelligence, James Clapper, says that Putin is manipulating President Trump like a skilled intelligence operative, saying he knows how to handle an asset, and that's what he's doing with the president. Lester?
Peter Alexander at the White House, thank you. Still ahead tonight, risky remedies. The FDA announcing a crackdown on certain homeopathic treatments, warning they could pose a health danger to you or your family. We'll be back. We're back now with a new crackdown on homeopathic products. The FDA warning some of these unregulated alternative remedies could pose serious health risks. NBC's Katie Beck has more.
When Blaine Talbot was teething and in pain, his mom, Karina, bought Highland homeopathic teething tablets. They said natural on the label, so she thought they were safe. But then she noticed an alarming change in her baby boy. He started having seizures.
It scared me to death.
The seizures stopped when the tablets ran out, and Blaine is now a healthy four-year-old. But the teething product, later recalled by the FDA for harmful levels of belladonna, a plant-based poison, now linked to the deaths of 10 children and injuring 400 more. The company says there is no scientific link between seizures and their product. Now the FDA planning to crack down on the safety of many homeopathic products, a $3 billion industry that's never been regulated.
They think they're taking an active ingredient that is going to benefit them, and that's where the scam is. That's where the snake oil part of this is.
The FDA plans to target high-risk products first, ones given by injection, used by children and the elderly, and marketed for cancer, heart disease, opioid, and alcohol addictions. Natural product advocates are pushing back. Homeopathic products have been used safely since the 1700s, and we're sure the agency will factor that into any regulatory decisions. The FDA will take input on their new approach for 90 days. Katie Beck, NBC News, Atlanta.
Coming up, an update on that federal nominee whose hearing went viral for all the wrong reasons. The NFL's Carolina Panthers have announced that owner Jerry Richardson is putting the team up for sale. It comes amid an investigation into allegations of sexual and racist misconduct by Richardson in the workplace, though Richardson did not make reference to that in that investigation in his announcement. An update on one of President Trump's judicial nominees who made headlines, national headlines, Matthew Peterson has withdrawn his nomination after he went viral for failing to answer basic legal questions at his hearing. And it wouldn't be Christmas time without a Christmas greeting from the royals. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, expecting their third child next year, released their annual card with Prince George and Princess Charlotte front and center. A lot of folks commenting that the little princess looks a lot like her great-grandmother, the Queen. Up next here tonight, happy holidays and Merry Christmas, the Air Force Sergeant on a mission for kids. Finally tonight, a story about creature comfort. Teddy bears making the rough times a little better for some kids in Tampa this holiday, thanks to some airmen who deliver with military precision. Part of our ongoing series, Those Who Serve.
Thank you.
Air Force Sergeant Tyler Treadaway is on a deployment straight from the heart.
Any volunteer event where you're making someone smile, that's for me.
Those smiles come from a special delivery this father of two organizes every holiday season here in Tampa. With the help of other volunteers from MacDill Air Force Base,
Jasmine,
Tyler's mission is to give teddy bears to children in local hospitals and orphanages.
It's breaking that monotony of being in the hospital and receiving all these medications and taking their mind off of it just for a couple minutes.
You want a girl or do you want a boy?
Their deliveries sometimes reach kids and families at their most difficult moment when they need something to smile about.
How y'all doing?
Last year, Jason and Stephanie Cox learned their daughter, Julia, would be sent home on hospice care when Tyler showed up with a bear.
It was a very
powerful moment in Julia's journey.
They may not realize that, you know, they're bringing a teddy bear for a kid, but it means so much to the parents, too. It's not just for the child.
Oh, yeah.
The bears are a small token from some folks with big hearts.
It warms my heart that people take the time out of their day just to say hi to me and make my day. And it really did make my day. I'm trying not to cry.
I'm just someone who's providing some teddy bears. The heroes are the doctors and the nurses and the kids and the parents that all have to go through this every day.
Okay, come here.
Serving these kids and his community one bear hug at a time.
I'd say he has the heart of a teddy bear. That's Nightly News for this Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. Thank you for watching and good night.